Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection. How great thou art, the great and mighty God we serve. He is awesome, so faithful. Thank God. Glory to God for every day, for mercy and for grace and for his loving kindness. Can't nobody do us like Jesus. Praise God. We thank God for you as you celebrate with us 5 years of Divine Connection Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. We want to celebrate our theme, to celebrate what the Lord has done. We have been enjoying, glory to God, this 2 months, glory to God, celebrating God with each one of the ministers of the gospel. And the prophetess last night brought us a powerful word from the Lord. Bless God. We'll share a little bit of that later. But in the meantime, we just want to give God glory. Tonight we're having none other than Pastor Prophet out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some of you have heard her before, but in the meantime, we are looking forward to a mighty move of God with expectation for him, glory to God, to be glorified. Bless the Lord. So we thank God for you. Praise the Lord as we are preparing for our other prayer warriors and guests to come on. We have a selection that First Lady Paige will be singing in our hearing tonight, giving a joyful noise as unto the Lord. And then we'll go on with our scripture reading. Will be by Mother Willette, evangelist, praise God. And then our own minister, Brother Black, praise God, will be praying tonight. So praise the Lord. At this time, receive none other than First Lady Paige.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Praise the Lord. We thank God, glory to God, for the woman of God sharing that praise song with us. And we all should be falling in love with him more and more every day, not just lip service. Let it not be said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart be far from it. But let that be sincere as we come before him with thanksgiving and an attitude of gratitude. He has done so much for us that we can afford not to show admiration to him and loving kindness, glory that he has given us in the name of Jesus. At this time, praise God, we're going to bless the Lord and open the line for our scripture reading, and then for Mother Evangelist Willette, and then we will have our prayer, glory to God, tonight, Minister Black. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, we give God glory, honor, and praise for another day. Hallelujah. I will be coming from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. 11th verse says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. That was Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers and the doers of his holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in for another treat, another treat, another treat. Father, we just thank you for this evening. First of all, we thank you for waking us up this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for keeping us even unto today, God, even through the pandemic, God, through our ups and downs, God, but we're still holding on, God. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, God. Oh, God, that we continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God, Lord, that the spoken word tonight, Lord, that you fill Pastor Mitchell, God, your words in her mouth, let them be fire, God. Lord, Lord, that she you give her the words in there, hot off the press, God. An end time word for this end time season, God. Lord, even the more as she decreases, God, just fill her belly to overflowing. Let your anointing go through the prayer lines. Heal and deliver, God, everything that's up that side down. Straight, make it, turn it right side up, God. Oh, God, and the ones that are not baptized with the Holy Ghost, even through the prayer lines, God. Oh, God, fill them with the Holy Ghost, God, as your spirit gives them utterance. We thank you in advance, God, for the blessings, God, for all the things that you've done on this prayer line. And we bind the hands of the enemy who tries to hinder, who tries to cut or shorten, Lord, the hearers, Lord, the hearts of the people, God, that the message don't go through. Hallelujah. Like a beaver stopping up the dam so the water won't go through. God, let your living water rush through, God, and till everybody's heart, God, that we can receive your word with gladness and apply your word to our heart. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory be unto the Most High God. We bless the Lord and praise God, hallelujah, for the prayer and also the scripture reading for tonight. We celebrate him. Those that have just came on the line, we welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection. Praise the Lord. We thank God for celebrating 5 years of Glory Divine Connection prayer line. We thank God for faithful men and women of God that has came on that nightly every Monday night and every second and fourth Sunday. Praise God. And for the last 2 months, every Sunday, we've been celebrating what the Lord has done. Our theme is celebrate what the Lord has done. We know the greatest things is yet to come, and we're thanking God for the word that's getting ready to come forth out of a powerful vessel that God has given us to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. One thing about this woman of God, she definitely is true to God and the word. She has such a thirst and a hunger for to get God's word out to the people, and she said with such fervence and glory to God, such boldness and glory to God, and the way she teaches it, even a child can understand. And she's so full of it with excitement. And I can talk about it because I met her in Tulsa when I was over there with my daughter and son-in-law and family, glory to God, some years back. I think it was in 15, the year of 2015. Bless the Lord. And I have enjoyed the times I was even in the Bible study. But praise God. So I thank God for the spirit that's still in her, that's still excited about the Lord and living according to what the word is saying. She is a pastor over the ministry called the Compassion Carriers. That's the ministry. God has blessed her, and such compassion is in her heart. We thank God that she just wanted us to know that she's blood washed, anointed of God, a vessel used unto the glory of God. I'm at my little bit in there. That's what I was doing. Praise God. Thank God that she also has, the Lord has blessed her to give her a vision for 5 days a week for a prayer line at 1 o'clock, which is 12 o'clock Central Time and 1 o'clock our time. And it's such a blessing. Thank God for the part of the church that really, glory to God, come on the line faithfully with her as well. We thank God, glory to God, for the anointing in her with the word of knowledge, the prophetic anointing.
with the prophetic anointing that's in her life, and she does not compromise the word. That is for sure. But I thank God, glory to God, for her. And this time we're going to prepare ourselves to a selection that she has for me to play. Let me have to pull it back up again on my phone. If not, I know she's always equipped and ready. So if I don't do it right, I'm quite sure she already has it on her end, but I'm going to try to come in compliance. And praise God, she will have a reader tonight with his Sister Sherelle. But I want you to know, glory to God, for those that haven't heard her, bless the Lord. She's definitely be before the Lord and hear the voice of God, and we'll bring a word that will be food for our soul. Praise God. Amen. So I'm going to get ready to open the line for her, but before she speaks, we're going to play this selection. Of course, you always got to have the commercial.
Jehovah is your name.
Praise the Lord. We're going to give to you now and to allow Pastor to come forth and minister as the Lord leads her.
Thank you, your name. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. You are Jehovah. Jehovah is your name. We worship you, Father. We magnify your holy name. You are an awesome God. You're a wonderful God. You're an awesome God. You're God of splendor. You're God of majesty. You're wonderful. You're majestic God. You're loving. You're gracious. You're kind. You're merciful. You're faithful. Your love is consistent. You are the bread of life. You're the reason we live, move, and have our being. You're the wind beneath my wings. You are centrality. You are priority, Father. Our lives are centered around you, Father. We live for you. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. You are Elohim Adonai. You are El Shaddai. We worship you. We honor you. We exalt your name together, Father. You are a power of rescue. Yes, glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Jehovah is your name. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shikimi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom. Elyon, come on. You are a great God. You are a wonderful God. Jehovah is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. I want to thank you all. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity. The opportunity that I get to share, to be a vessel that's used by him. I want to thank the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Prophetess, my sister. She's my mother. I love her. I want to thank her for the opportunity to come again to minister. I thank God for all of you that are together on the line. Just to be together. There's nothing better and more beautiful than to sup with your sisters and brothers and love and unity, one heart, one mind, one soul, one accord, coming together collectively to celebrate our God. So I'm just glad to be here today. And so today, without further ado, I'll just get started. I just want to share with you. I know you probably have heard, you know, you probably heard people say, okay, let's go on a... We're going on a ski trip, or we're going on a fishing trip, or we're going on a swimming trip, or we're going on, you know, all these different trips. And so today I want to ask you, have you ever been on a guilt trip? Uh-oh. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to attack that. We're going to tackle that. We're going to make sure you're free from all guilt trips. And so that's what we're going to talk about, because guilt trips within itself is damaging. Guilt itself is damaging. And guilt creates fear. And it creates the kind of fear that have you sometimes wondering, okay, will I be found out? Will I be found out? In other words, is there something about me that I've hidden, that I put in the closet, and that guilt is still there? And I'm always concerned about, will I be found out? I was told about a man who went to another country, and he left a note, and all he said on the note was that, You better leave the country, because tonight you'll be found out. And they said at least 10 to 1,500 people had already was leaving town, because you said they had these secret things and they had this guilt that they had been riding and had been riding on them, and they had been dealing with all of that time. And so sometimes fear will cause you to have guilt will cause you to have a fear of being found out. Sometimes guilt will cause you to have a fear of being rejected by others. We know one of the biggest things that the enemy used at the core is rejection and abandonment, right? And then sometimes that guilt, what it does, it'll have you thinking that someone else is going to retaliate over you. We see those people, our brothers and sisters who choose to do drugs and sell drugs. A lot of times they can't sleep good at night. They don't sleep well because they don't know if retaliation is coming. You know, and so that's what fear does, and that's what guilt does. It'll bring you in a place where you're afraid that you're going to be judged. And I got to tell you something. When you're in that place where you're feeling like God will judge you because you got some guilt that you haven't released into the Lord and God is straight, a lot of times that's a miserable feeling. And God don't want us to be in that place today. So everybody knows. If you think everybody all over the whole world right now, if you go and ask anybody, they've all heard about Jesus and how he died on the cross. Many have heard about how Jesus died on the cross. Some know he died for our sins. Others may not. But many still don't know the implications of what he died on the cross. They don't understand with the fullness the implications of him dying on the cross. Now, we all just celebrated Easter, so we talked about it a little bit. But we see crosses everywhere. You see people wearing it on their shirts, and you see the cross. You see the jewelry, and you see the cross a little bit everywhere. And we've kind of taken that thing, and we got those crosses everywhere, but a lot of times we don't even know the importance of that cross. And so my question to you today, can you make a list of all the benefits you have because of the cross? That's a good thing to do. What are my benefits at the cross? What are the benefits I have due to the cross? And so when you think about that, what are 10 promises that you've received because of the cross? We must understand and know the significance of the cross. No longer can we use it just as jewelry. No longer can we use it to put it on our wall. We got to really understand the significance of the cross. With that being said, today our word is going to come from Luke chapter 23, verse 27. And I'll read this one from 27 to 37, and then I'll have Sister Sherelle to assist me along the way. So Luke 23. Verse 27 reads as follows, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughter of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. 29, for behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. 30, and then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And 31, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors and all, and one on the right hand and the other on the left. 34, and then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we're going to stop right there. Although I said we're going to go to 37, we can stop right there. Because when you think about Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As a matter of fact, when he said that, I am going to go a little further because I want to go on to, And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Look, and this is all had been prophesied, y'all. That they parted his raiment and they cast lots. See, the Old Testament is filled with what? Types and shadows, right? And so the Old Testament is filled with types and shadows. And there have been a lot of types and shadows that have been mentioned in the Old Testament. And when the New Testament came, it's the fulfillment of the types and shadows. And they began to do just what had already been prophesied. And so in 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ and chosen of God, if he be. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what old Slewfoot did Jesus after the wilderness. If you be. When next time the enemy comes to you and try to tell you if you be, you make sure you answer him with the word of God. So he said, if you be Christ, the chosen of God, and the soldiers also mocked him. That's just what the enemy does. When you find yourself in a place where you're around people who are mocking and mimicking God, that's an attribute of the enemy. And they mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And so with that being said, a lot of times when that happened, this all took place in what they call the skull, which is the skull of Golgotha. Now the Father said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's why we're talking about that guilt trip. Because we look at it today, and we look at things that are going on and things that are going on in the world. And I want to share three different things. And we see all of us, we deal with life, and life is all about our relationship. God is all about relationship. And everything we do in life is about relationship. Even God, we're part of a family, the family of God. So when we look at it, there's three things we're going to discuss today. When it comes down to guilt, what we normally do with our guilt, one, what God wants us to do with our guilt, two, and how to be free from guilt. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is what we normally do with our guilt. I'm going to tell you what I find a lot of times when we normally do with our guilt. We try to bury it. We try to bury our guilt, or we try to bury our past. Much like a zombie, it doesn't work. It's like trying to put a basketball under water in a pool. Every time you try to push it down, it's going to bounce back up. And so you'll find yourself in that place when you're trying to bury your past or bury your guilt. It's going to continue to come back. It's going to come up in your dreams. It's going to come up in your thoughts and your memories. And sometimes that thing have a way of resurrecting itself at the most inappropriate time. And so you can't bury your past. You can't bury your guilt. And so these are the things we normally do. We got to deal with it. We got to confront it. And with that being said, we're going to look at Psalm 32, verse 3, 4, and 5. And Sister Sherelle will read that scripture.
When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my rowing all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah.
Come on. Now, in burying our past and trying to bury that guilt, a lot of times what happens, let me show you how the enemy, I love to expose the enemy. I hate the devil. I call him on Slewfoot. So in burying it, a lot of times what we try to do is minimize, rationalize, and compromise. And I'll tell you what he'll do. See, some people will try to minimize that thing. In your mind, you say, you see, what's that? It's not that big of a deal, you know. And when you feel so bad about it after you do it, you know, it's not that bad. It ain't that big a deal. You know, everybody's doing, you know, and we all slip up sometimes. And yeah, you know, and all. And so a lot of times you can't forget about that thing, and you can't see, man, it seems to be haunting you. Well, why you can't forget about it after all this time? Because what happens is you're trying to minimize it, and you bit into a seed or like a loaf of deception at that time. So if you don't minimize, you go on to some are rationalized. And a lot of times when they rationalize, what happens is what they'll do is it really gets to a place where a lot of other people have done this. This really helps to make them feel not guilty. They'll say, well, we in our earth suit, and God knew we was going to slip up, and so I don't have to feel guilty. And so we rationalize the things we've done. And so when you rationalize, what I want to tell you is, and when you rationalize, is to tell rational lies to yourself. Did you catch that? When you rationalize, you're telling a rational lie to yourself. So you're trying to convince yourself with your own mind what's right, that something's right that you know in your own heart is wrong. Come on in here. And so when you argue with yourself, a lot of times your emotions will win. So what others is doing is irrelevant. It don't matter who all doing it, why they doing it, what they doing about how you feel about yourself. That has nothing to do with what other people do, have nothing to do with how you feel about yourself. And so some people, if they don't rationalize or minimize, some compromise in bearing it. What they do is they lower their standards. I remember sharing with my church about this young boy who went to his dad. He had the basketball goal instead of at 9 or 10 feet, he brought it down to 6 foot. He said, Daddy, come see. Daddy, come see. And his daddy rushed over to see him. He said, Daddy, watch this. He took the ball. He began to bounce the ball. He bounced that ball. He brought it up. And he jumped that ball. And his daddy said, uh-huh, I see you, son. And his daddy recognized something. His daddy corrected him. He said, yeah, it's good that you dunked it at a six-foot goal because you lowered the goal. And so a lot of times that's what we do is thanks to God. We try to lower the goal. We try to lower the goal and say we dunk it. And who you deceiving? Nobody, because God sees and knows everything. So it's just important that we don't lower the standard. We don't try to compromise and lower the standard to say we dunking like this. We dunking our walking God. We dunking this kingdom business. Don't lower the standard. Reach the goal. So the daddy recognized that he had the janitor, the Lord. His daddy had the janitor come back and bring it up to 10 foot and let me know when you dunk it that way. And so whether it's compromised, rationalized, or minimized, the bottom line is you're not telling yourself the truth, and it doesn't and it's just not good. So what you want to do is you want to get into a place where you're not in a place where you're bearing it anymore. You're not dealing with that guilt. You're going to God and you're really getting healing for it. And if you do something wrong and you know you did something wrong, don't sit there and waddle and make yourself make excuses and minimize it, and don't compromise it, and don't rationalize it. And that's what I want to say about bearing it. Those are some of the things we do. Let's go to Proverbs 28, verse 13.
He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsake them shall have mercy.
And I want to just share that. When I tell you about when they lowered that goal from 10 feet to 6 foot so that he could obtain it, now when you lower the goal, lowering of the goal may not be the sin. The compromise may not depend on what it is or what you're doing. It just makes you feel better about yourself and your flesh. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a sin, but I'm going to tell you the bad thing about it. Anytime you do something wrong enough and you stop doing the right thing, you stop feeling bad about it. The Bible calls it a hardened conscience. And so it's just important that you deceive. When you're trying to deceive somebody, don't deceive yourself. You can't deceive God because he's omnipotent and omniscient. He knows all-knowing and in all places at all times. So you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Don't try to hide your sins, because everything you do on the Internet, especially right now, everything you do in life, God already got it. But anything you do right now, especially because of the World Wide Web, is permanent, it's global, and it's searchable. And that means it never goes away. And so it's important that we don't bury our doggone our guilt. Another thing, we got to make sure we're not blaming others. Sometimes we blame others. We saw that with Adam and Eve. And we're not going to go there, but the reference is in Genesis 3, verse 12. And Adam and Eve, it was the blaming of each other. We saw it. Adam said, it was this woman you gave me. And see, in other words, God, you gave me this woman. It was her. And she said, it was this man. Everybody was passing the buck, you know? And so it's so important that we don't use blame. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that blame. Blame is used as a balance of guilt. Sometimes when you feel guilty about something, see, guilt is something you've done to someone else. And a lot of times, that resentment is a feeling you may have when somebody's done you wrong. And so sometimes you just kind of like find yourself in that place trying to find that blame. You blame somebody else. It's like a teeter-totter of a scale. So either way, that's why we got so much depression going on. Either you're guilty from what you did, which brings the scale down and you're in a depressed state, or else you find yourself in the resentment because you can't get over the memory and the trauma that somebody did you, which still bring you into that place of depression. But God wants to see you free, and this is the day you'll be free. So it's just any way we go, if we rock it one way or the other, we know it's all about blame is not what God desires for us. I'm going to tell you what blame is. If you want to spell blame, it's to be lame. B-L-A-M-A, be lame. So we don't want to blame anybody. We want to own responsibility. We want to take responsibility for our lives. No longer will we pass the buck. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. God don't want us passing the buck. Oh, there's somebody else and somebody else, well, they did that. Well, yeah, even if they 90% wrong and you had 10% of ownership in it, own your 10%. I'm not telling you to take on false responsibility, but own yours. Proverbs 19, verse 3.
The foolishness of a man perverted his way, and his heart fret against the Lord.
People own foolishness ruins their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. I'm sure you see it all the time. It amazes me how people live their lives as though God isn't their Lord, or God isn't even around. They have nothing to do with God, but soon as calamities come in their life, and they say, well, God, how could you? Oh, so you believe he got the power to make a difference in your life, but you don't live your life as though he does? And so this scripture right here explains that people own foolishness, ruin their lives, but in their minds, they blame the Lord. Why do you think that happens in the mind? because that's where the battle is. That's where the enemy comes. You know, the enemy can't mess with that spirit, man. The Holy Spirit is fused to your spirit. That part is in that place. It's secured in there. But that mind, boy, I tell you. So if God hadn't given, we know that Adam told him, the first thing Adam said was, if God hadn't given me that woman, he said, if God hadn't given me this woman, and you know, he know that it wasn't that God had given him a woman. He made the choice. As a matter of fact, the covenant was between God and Adam. It was never between God and Eve. And so, but yet he tried to blame Eve. So what we usually do at this time, we're going to find out stuff. We're going to either bury that thing. We're going to blame people. But what we usually do with guilt, a lot of times we're going to bury, we're going to blame others. The third one is we beat ourselves up. How many of you have ever been in a place where if you didn't bury that guilt, if you didn't blame others, you beat yourself up? And the bad thing about beating yourself up, we don't know when enough is enough. We could be so critical and so hard on ourselves, harder on ourselves than we could ever be on anyone else. We pile it on with self-administered punishment. Sometimes we self-sabotage and we punish ourselves because we don't feel worthy. Where do you think that lack of worthy come from? That doesn't just come just because you were born in sin. That lack of worthiness comes sometimes because of things that have happened, especially secret things that you've done, nobody knowing, you walking around, you had never confessed it. You may have gone to the Lord and gotten forgiveness, but you've never really been healed emotionally and set free from that thing, and that thing continues to torment you. And every time when you're in your pain, you're at a point of breakthrough in your life, here comes self-sabotage show up. You don't even recognize the self-sabotage because what you believe and what you have faith for keeps happening to you over and over again. Woo! So what we do a lot of times in self-conscious is we try to pay for our mistakes. If we don't administer punishment to our own selves, we try to self-consciously try to pay for our mistakes. We go to the Lord, to the house of the Lord, and we're going to work it off. You can't work off of your guilt. Oh, if I feed enough families and if I pray enough prayers and I go do all of this Martha work, it's going to help me to do that. Can a guilty conscience make you sick? I would say yes. If I was to ask you that, can a guilty conscience make you sick? I say yes. And because there was a study that said that over 50% of the people in the hospital could go home if they only learned how to deal with resentment and guilt. Resentment or guilt, they them little, I won't call them the misery twin buddies. They're the little misery twin buddies. And David said he felt terrible. We know the story of what David did with Bathsheba and how one thing led to the other and he had the man killed and all that. And so that guilt, he said he felt terrible. And I'm going to tell you right now, he said he felt strength evaporating out of his life. So people that are sick sometimes have to consider, a lot of times when you go in a hospital, you hear the people talking about, what's your diet? What are you eating? Is it high in salt for your pressure? Or is it high in sugar for your diabetes? And what are you eating? Do you have gout? You got to do this. And yes, we want to be mindful of what's going on. Yes, we want to be mindful of our diet and what we're putting in our bodies. But I also want to tell you, we don't just need to be mindful of what we're eating, but now we need to also be mindful of what's eating us. Because we know stress and guilt, they will take your strength and they can cause you to be in that place of depression. Guilt can depress you and cause you to sabotage your success. You can say you know the Lord, you've been with the Lord 20, 30, 40, 50. My grandmother used to say, I'm on this journey. I'm on this tedious journey. And I'm journeying on. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a soldier of the Lord. 50, 60 years and all that. And then you could still live a mediocre lifestyle because you don't know how to attain and really obtain and take and receive all that God has got for you and live a fulfilled life. And you could still live in a place of mediocre because of thoughts and because of guilt and resentment and things from the past that you truly have never surrendered unto the Lord. God says today is the day of your freedom. So you'll see it happen a lot of times. A lot of times what happens is that guilt will make you think, and you'll think to yourself, you don't deserve it. Because it's only because the enemy's coming in there and he's deceiving you. He's trying to tell you you don't deserve success. Because only you and you feel like you know that. Nobody else knows. And that's that self-serving. And that's the enemy. But I bind Satan right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind every assassin, every mental assassin that comes to your life to try to torment you. I speak that today is your day of freedom. And you'll see it. You'll see it in the lives of people. Some folks, you'll see them at the height of their success. And then they'll do something their own self to self-sabotage. And that's due to not feeling like they deserve it. We see it with athletes and stuff. Some of that stuff is straight self-sabotage. Let's go to Psalms chapter 38. And let's read verse 4 and verse 6. Psalm 38, verse 4, verse 6.
Verse 4, for my iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long.
Amen. See, guilt, it lets you know right in the scripture that guilt overwhelms you. How many of you have been in a place where you feel overwhelmed? Guilt overwhelms you. Are you punishing yourself over something you've done wrong a long, long time ago? God has forgiven you. You still haven't forgiven yourself. Some are still beating themselves up about things that happened a long, long time ago. I want to tell you that's not wise. It's not wise to bury. It's not wise to blame others. And it's not wise to beat yourself up about guilt. What does Jesus want us to do? Now, we talked about what we usually do. Let's talk about what Jesus wants us to do. How does Jesus want us to get off your guilt trip? He said, it's time for you to come off your guilt trip. Pack your bags and come on, get off this trip. Come on back. Come back in alignment with your assignment for your life. The original intent and purpose in which I plan, the plans that I have for your life, the perfect will, the perfect plan. And I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. You want to know how he said? The first thing I want you to do is admit it. Get out of denial. Come out of denial. Own it. I blew it. I messed up. I slipped. I fell. And some keep themselves busy because they don't want to deal with the guilt. You see people that don't want to deal with it, and they'll keep themselves busy, even busy in ministry. Because a lot of times when you have to sit still, even in God, when you got to sit with yourself, you don't stop be racing in your mind. And so some people work a lot. They do things to keep busy because they don't want to deal with themselves. They can't deal with the thoughts within their head. And you can't make up for wrong by being busy. We saw that example with Martha. Martha was so convinced she was right. She had the nerve and audacity, y'all, to tell Jesus, to tell Mary, get busy with her too. Jesus told her, no, Mary is doing what's wise. She's seated at my feet. She's learning my ways. So some folks blew it in an area, and they quickly move away not to deal with it. They'll move away from the situation. Some people are moved state to state. You got some people who do some bad things, and then they get the bad reputation in that city, and then they go on to another one. And they just keep moving and moving, moving away from accountability. But the problem is everywhere you go, guess what? You got to take yourself with you. So you see, I don't care where you go, you still got to deal with you. And so we see it with people who work a lot, and you know, they're workaholics, and it's because of guilt. And so it's important. So when you're made to set with yourself, all the guilt comes flooding into your mind. And I want you to know when that thing happens, that's what God said. Okay, I'm giving you an opportunity to deal with it. I'm giving you an opportunity to confront it. I'm giving you an opportunity to come to me, bring it to me. In your mind's eye, take it to the cross. In Proverbs 20:27, we know what the scripture. Read that for me, Sister Sherelle, Proverbs 20:27. We can no longer hide from ourselves. I'll share with you something God's been telling. Let me tell you something God's been sharing with me. He says some of my people, it was one thing when folks started out in religion, and then they got into a place of a relationship. And so they advanced in the kingdom because he said everything is line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith, glory to glory. He said, but I've gotten some of my people who may have started in religion, went into relationship, and now they're back into religious practice in relationship with me. I said, what? I said, God, how could they be in religion practice with relation? He said, because they got a relationship, but then they start operating in the formulas with a religious mindset, even though they feel with the Holy Ghost on the next level. There's a next, every level you go up, there's a devil, and there's a level of deception. God said, today is the day of your freedom. Don't operate in religion when you got relationship. Don't use the formulas of God. I'm a fast, and I'm a fast for 3 days, and we're gonna put that devil. You gonna move God? You gonna manipulate God? Find out how God wanna do it, because the way He did it last time might not be the way He's gonna do it this time. We can't put God in the box. We can't use the formulas of God. We can't be willing to deal with the gifts of God and just the promises of God without dealing with the God of the promise and the God of the provision. Go ahead, read that scripture for me.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. searching all the inward parts of the belly.
See? He knows. He knows. And so it's very important that we don't be in a place where we're sitting there guilting ourselves. We cannot hide from ourselves. In 1 John 1:8, it tells us if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So stop defeating yourself. And so I want you to write it down tonight if you write notes. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. To stop defeating, D-E-F-E-A-T-I-N-G, myself, I must stop deceiving myself. What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? Time to do a personal moral. I call it a PMI, personal moral inventory. What's going on between my relationship with God? What's really going on between me and my children? What's going on with me and my siblings? What's really going on between me and others at this time? Sin, wrong attitudes, hanging on to unforgiveness. You still remember in 1979 when your sister did this to you back then, and you remember, yeah, in 84 when she did that, you got a whole list. God said, what are you holding on? Let it go. There's a power of confession to God by admitting it. There's power in you confessing it all to God by admitting it, owning it. Is there anything blocking you from rejoicing with God? Ask yourself, why is it that you can get to the point where you've been with the Lord and it just become like second nature? It's like wash your face, brush your teeth. You know how to do it. You know how to do it religiously. But where is the true intimacy with God? What's the stuff that's really going on? In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. Ask God to bring to your mind anything that needs to be confessed. Write it down. You unconsciously may be guilty about something that you've dealt. And write it down, and that makes it specific, because when you can write it down exactly what it is, it makes it specific. God is a God of specifics. I think it was Francis Bacon that said specifics a lot of times reading things makes a broad man, but writing things makes a specific man. See, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. So when you can say it and write it, you really got it. So that's what we said Jesus wants. Jesus first wants you to admit it. The second thing he wants you to do is accept responsibility. We talked about a little bit earlier with David and Bathsheba. When David wrote out his moral inventory, he had to do it. If you want to know when David did his PMI, his personal moral inventory, read Psalm 51. That was David. He doesn't blame her. He took full responsibility. He said he recognized his fault. I'm conscious of my sins. What's the best way to ensure you've accepted responsibility for the dumb things we may have done? What are some of the best ways that we can ensure that we've accepted responsibility for the dumb things we've done? I'm going to tell you what it is, and it's key to what I'm talking about tonight. That is to tell another person. I see the Holy Ghost. What? Tell another person? Yep, that's what I said. Tell another person. Now, you don't go tell a gossip. And you don't go put it on Twitter. You don't go and tweet it. But you find a friend, a sister, a brother, someone who's mature in the Lord that love you, and you know they love you unconditionally. And it's essential that you do that. I'm telling you, sharing and telling a person is an essential key in letting go of guilt. Go to James 5:16.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
Confess our sins to God, but some of us never told anyone. So we come between me and you, God. And so I confess my sin to God. And when I confess my sin to God, he said he'll forgive us our sins. But when you confess your sin to your brother, he said you'll be healed. Some of us, we might have been forgiven, but we haven't been healed. Ooh! Thank you, Lord. But if you want forgiveness, tell God. If you want to be healed of the negative emotions, tell someone else. Confess that sin. James 5, confess it to one person. It ain't like you got to go around and blab it. Confess that thing, that secret thing that you've been holding on to. Confess it to one person. I'm going to share something. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Again, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. So if you don't talk about it, if you don't talk about it, I'm going to put it this way. If you don't talk it out, you will take it out on your body. Yes, you will. If you don't talk it out and let it out, you will take it out on your body. Some of us beat our bodies up. Some of us do things. Some of us may be emotional eaters. We do things to our body. Sometimes because we may be holding on to stuff. Some of that has a lot of the issues. And some of you, I know you're seasoned and you're seniors in it. And you understand even through deliverance, even in deliverance, some of the ailments we deal with in our bodies is directly connected to issues, spiritual issues, emotional trauma, and things that have not been dealt with. So when you continue to swallow your negative emotions, your stomach begins to take score. Why drag someone in this? You're thinking, okay, why drag someone in this? You asking me that? Why do I need to drag someone in this when God told me I could go to him and he said, forgive me? Why do I have to drag someone in this? I'm glad you asked. I need you to really catch this. The reason why James 5:16 says confess your faults one to another and you'll be healed, and God said, confess you, come to me, and I'll forgive you, is because the root of all our problems are relational. You are reciting and you are reacting still right now to every relationship in your life that you didn't like. Even your life where you are now is a conclusion, a culmination of your relationship in life. Think about it. So because the root of all our problems are relational. So today you're still reacting to relationships you didn't like. And those relationships may still be pushing you in a direction you don't want to go. I want you to know, I'm only as sick as my secret. I am only as sick as my secret. Secrets make you sicker. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. No longer. God said, take the mask off. Stop playing games. Stop worrying about image and being pride, worrying about what people see and think and all of that kind of stuff of you. It is time to be raw and real. He said we play games, we wear masks, we hide the truth from one another. We pretend we have it all together, and all it does is create isolation with you in the spirit realm and isolation in your life. It also creates insecurity. So God wants us to acknowledge it. He wants us to admit it. He wants us to accept responsibility. And last but not least, he wants us to ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, read that, Cheryl.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So basically, if we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable, and he forgives our sins, and he makes us thoroughly clean from all the evil. He don't leave it. He don't half step from all that is evil. He knows and wants us to admit it. God is more willing to forgive us than we are willing to admit it. We don't have to bribe God. We don't have to bargain with him, and we don't have to beg God. Forgiveness doesn't change the future. It cleans up the past. I want you to catch that. Forgiveness doesn't change the future, but it shows clears up the past. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24.
For all have sinned and come short of his glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So we say the first thing Jesus said on the cross was forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if you admit that thing, accept that thing, and ask God, his forgiveness is here for the taking. He said, I'll give it to you. And if we haven't forgiven ourselves, we will continue to ask God over and over again. Confess it to someone and let it go. That's false guilt from Satan. He'll keep you in that place where you'll have a false sense of guilt. Before we commit a sin, Satan, let me just tell you, I want to expose how he does it. Most of you probably know, but I got to go in on and say it anyway. that old sleuth for Satan, he's such a deceiver. What he does is he minimizes the sin when you before you do it, you know. He minimizes that sin. He says, it's no big deal. Come on, you know, no big deal, you know. Besides, if you got grace, you know, you can always ask him for forgiveness. And so the moment you do it, then Satan changes his whole strategy. And he maximized it. Now he took the same thing he minimized in your mind before you did it when he was trying to seduce you or tempt you. Now he maximized and said, you see you did that, you big fool. God will never trust you. God will never bless you. You can't go to God. And see, then he maximizes. So that's his M.O. He operates in that temptation and condemnation. And he'll try to tell you, you'll never have the blessings of God. You see, you stupid, you perverted, you this. He'll try to tell you all of that stuff. You wild, you evil, you wicked, you nasty, look at you. And he maximized that thing afterwards. So we can't fall for the okey-doke of the enemy. Amen? So it's just very important, y'all, that we know that we don't ask him, we don't go to God asking him over and over again. Because if we continue to ask him over, if you go to him for forgiveness, he's forgiving you. You go to somebody else, he'll heal you of that emotional thing. I'm telling you, it's the healing of that those emotions sometimes that is a part that has a lot to do with your movement. Because God is calling us to be in a movement. He's calling us into a movement, much like Lot's wife. When he told him that, he said, okay, now I want y'all to go. It was a time for them. It was a movement. It was a movement moment in their life. And Lot's wife, because she looked in the wrong direction and she was too stuck of the emotionally, she was still connected to her past. So she looked in the wrong direction. And instantly when she looked in the wrong direction, she was supposed to be a movement and she became a memory in a moment. Come on in here. But God don't want you. He said, uh-uh, I'm calling you from that place. I called you to be a movement. Keep going. Move forward. And go to me and ask me for forgiveness, but then also confess it to someone else so you can be healed. Because with your healing, my God going to use you to heal others. Don't come to me over and over again asking me the same thing, because that means you're doing it in doubt. So you don't really believe God forgave you to keep on asking over and over, and if you keep on picking the thing up. So the reason you don't feel forgiven is because you haven't done all the three steps. And the three steps, I just told you, is to do what? To ask him, to admit it, to accept, and to ask. You got to do all three of them. And if you don't believe you're forgiven, a lot of times you're going to be in that self. You're going to be like a hamster on the wheel. God is the key to your breakthrough. God is the key to your breakthrough. So you got to ask, admit, and accept. Know that God wants to forgive you. Not just, he just don't want to just forgive you. And he forgives instantly. God forgives completely. He forgives instantly and he forgives completely. So it's important for every sin. There is no sin that you could have done that's too big for God to forgive you. When he said it is finished, he said that's for your past, your present, and your future sins. Jesus nailed himself to the cross so we could stop nailing ourselves to the cross. Come on. And it's one thing to be on the cross and to say things where you say you died to yourself, but nailing yourself and constantly beating yourself up and constantly being hard on yourself and constantly ridiculing, killing yourself and staying in that place of mediocrity and deciding that I'm going to stay in this place and I'm going to just be a memory and a moment instead of a movement for God. God is a God of goal. God is a God of movement. God is a super stain remover. He said, I completely annulled everything that the enemy tried to do in your life. When something is annulled, it means it's as though it never happened. How much time do we have to continue to stay in this place? He said, I have need of you. I have need of your hand and your feet and your voice. I give you total, complete forgiveness. Now that you've gotten forgiveness, go on and share that one thing with some one person that you trust. And, you know, I call myself a vault. I say, I'm a vault. Once it go in, it locks, click. It'll never come out again. Confess your faults one to another so that you can be healed from that thing. And with your healing, a lot of times God will heal you, and then he'll use you. But now he's going to go and use you to knock the enemy upside the head. I call it whack-a-mole in the lives of other people. So God forgives you. Not only does he forgive you instantly, he forgives you completely. He forgives you repeatedly. So don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. Just follow the word of God. Just follow the spirit of the Lord. God said today is the day of your freedom. God said today is the day of your freedom. Come off the guilt trip. Move. He said, I'm calling you to be a movement. I'm not calling you for just a moment and to become a memory. If you got life in your body, I don't care what age you are, God said, it's still more. There's more. More movement that I require of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you are setting the captives free. I thank you, Lord God, that you've taken us to new levels, new heights in you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you are moving even right now by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the balm in Gilead. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of our souls. I thank you, Lord God, that we for the freedom that you offer through the blood of your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that we're moving with you. I thank you that you use us to be a part of that remnant, being used in his last, in his end times, in his season right now, in his hour. He used of you, Father, moving in with you, moving in sync with you, binding our wills to you, relinquishing control. Because you never came to give us control. You said you gave us will. Only control we have is self-control. You say renew our minds. That's what we need to do, know how to deal with that by casting down imaginations and images to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of who you are, who we are in you. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for healing your people. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. I believe that I'm supposed to stop. It may have been a hard stop, but I feel like that was it. Sometimes the Lord say you go so long, you know, nobody don't need to choke on it, but that's enough to chew. Holy Spirit, move in our lives, move in our hearts, move in our families. I thank you, Lord God, that you're calling right now. I declare and I decree movement in the Spirit, movement in our lives, movement being the hands, being the feet, being the voice of God, movement. I bind all stagnancy, I bind complacency right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind distractions that come to try to hold us up, situations. Every time we're on a move for God, something comes trying to distract us and pull us off. I bind that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that we're going forward with kingdom mindset, kingdom ability, pushing back the darkness, annihilating, dissipating the work of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. I don't know if there's someone on the line. I just now when I was ending and I was getting ready to hand it over to Pastor BJ. I was just getting ready to hand it over. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Hand it over to you. Okay, I was getting ready to hand it over to you, and I heard a ringing in my ear. Is there someone who's dealing with ringing in your ear?
Well, why is she talking about Pastor Hubbard? Why is she still ministering?
Pardon me, whoever's on the line that's talking, you need to mute your phone. She is getting ready to start prayer, and she said she started to turn it over to me, but God gave her a word about someone have a ringing in your ear. So would you kindly mute your phone because you're talking across her? I certainly do appreciate it. God bless.
Is there anyone who's dealing with a ringing in your ear?
I have two more lines to open up, Pastor, so I'm going to try to get all the lines open. We have quite a few people on tonight. Okay, now say it again, just in case someone didn't hear it.
I was getting ready to yield the mic over to Pastor, and I felt I heard a ringing in my ear, so I was just wondering if there's anybody on the line tonight who's dealing with a ringing in your ear.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for coming forward because it happened right when I was getting ready to yield it and I heard the ringing. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now. I lift my sister up. I thank you, Lord God, for healing. Go ahead and put your hand right now on your ear right now. And I thank you, Lord God, for Jesus' voice. Stripes on his back. for her healing. And I thank you, Lord God, that the ringing will go right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, we bind you. We rebuke you. And I thank you, Lord God, that everything in her body lines up with your perfect will right now. We plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of her head down to the soles of her feet. And it is so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The line is open now for as Pastor be led by the Spirit as she hear whatever God is telling her. But if there's any prayer requests, if you can make it known now, all the lines are open.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. We enjoyed that. I would like to have the you pray for last night while I was on the line listening to the service in the next block down the street from me. A 15-year-old boy was shot and killed in the street. I don't know his name. I don't know his family, but I'm asking for prayer for, I think he said his grandmother is the one that he was living with. And if you would please pray for that family and for
yes,
families
ma'am.
That have been going through things. I tried to say him. I don't know his name, but if he was 15 years old, a drive-by.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Father, we just lift up that family. You know exactly who the family is. You know exactly who she's speaking of. Oh, Father, we just lift up that family while they're in their grieving and in their bereavement. I thank you, Lord God, that they heal in a healthy way and that they go through their grief cycle in a healthy way and they don't get stuck in the cycle, Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask that you are the Paracletus, the Comforter, the one that's called alongside to abide, reside, and to guide and lead them. I thank you that you're with that grandmother and the family members. And I thank you for Romans 8:28, even though this situation, the bad things you say will come together and work for good, I thank you that you pull that family closer together and that you pull them close and draw them closer to you, Father. I thank you for those who are signed in the life of that family will come. Your workers will come into that family's life, and it will speak your truth, and it will penetrate the hearts of those, and then they will turn, those who may not be serving you, that they will turn to you, Father, submit their lives to you, and get glory for the story in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen. You're welcome, sis.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? The line is open. Yes. Yes, you called me back.
I'm sorry, my phone died. I'm just trying to get back in the prayer line. Messed around, called you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? One of the ministers dropped off trying to get back online. I'm sorry about the interruption. Praise the Lord. Is no one else having any prayer requests? We're going to thank the Lord for Pastor tonight. Praise God for the word that came forth so powerful. So we're going to have the lines already open. So first person, if Pastor Bird is still on the line, we'll have her to make the first remarks. And after that, the prayer warriors or any of the other ministers or any of the guests, if you want to make any remarks, and we're going to give that time to you now. We thank God again for such a powerful word. I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm going to give room to those who have got and have some remarks for what God has done or said tonight. It definitely was definitely a needed word, and powerful as it is, glory to God, I pray and continue to work a work in us so we can line up and become in compliance with what he's saying. Pastor Prophet Bird.
Praise God. What a message. I did not hear all of the message, but the part that I heard was awesome. And I agree with her with that word. We got to ask God, and we do have to admit. So sometimes we keep secrets. And God can't work in lies, and he can't work in secrets. So that was a wonderful word. It was a word for the body. And we do have to find somebody that we can trust in the body of Christ. Because God told us to do that, confess our sins one to another. So I just thank God for the word tonight. It was awesome. It was needed, and it was on time. God continue to bless you. Awesome word. Thank you.
Anyone else? Prayer warriors, you can go ahead and go ahead for praise the Lord. Just go ahead and allow the Lord to just bless. Amen.
Amen. Minister BJ, I can make a comment.
Go ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, I really enjoyed the minister of the hour tonight. Praise God. Now, what's your name again, darling?
Pastor Mitchell.
Pastor Mitchell, I heard that in the beginning, but I thought I misunderstood. But thank and praise God. Awesome message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think this is the young lady who preaches, and you got to jump on that train, and you got to be ready to ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, and you try to catch some of the things that she's saying, but the message was wonderful. I thank and praise God. One of my mottos is try to live a life with no regrets. And I thank and praise God for using you tonight in such a special way, praise God, to bring this message about guilt. And guilt is that's just one of those things that keep people enslaved, keep people in the past. And if we are children of God, praise God, Jesus came, and when you was saying that I had just wrote down Jesus came to set the captive free, when you are in Christ, praise God, you should not be bound by stuff that happened yesterday, praise God. You should be set free, and sometimes it may be a process, but you got to begin to do like you say, praise God. Ask God, it was three things you said. I may have got them wrong. Admit, praise God, confess to God, and accept God's forgiveness, because Jesus has already paid for what took place in our past, praise God. Hallelujah. So we've got to move past. We got to press toward that mark of a high calling in Christ. Bottom line, we got to receive what God has already given us, praise the Lord. So I thank and praise God. You did a beautiful job explaining. I'm not going to try to go over everything I put down. You was giving some phrases, minimalize, rationalize, and compromise, and you were explaining the message so beautifully, praise God. I enjoyed every last morsel, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and everything was just absolutely beautiful. But like you say, Guilt will eat you up. Guilt will cause you to be left behind. So you don't want to allow anything to keep you, praise God, from moving forward. Like you say, move forward, praise God, hallelujah. Like you talked about Lot's wife, she should have kept moving forward and not looked behind. But we have to let some things go. You've got to let those things go, praise God. The scripture said, lay aside every weight, praise God. You got to let things that may have hindered you in the past, but if you're a child of God, you should no longer, you should be free in Christ Jesus, and you should not allow those things to keep you in prison, praise God. Thank you so much for an excellent word. God bless you and continue in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, ma'am. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Mitchell. That was an awesome word. That was a 7-course meal at a 5-star hotel. Amen. And I just liked when you were talking about you just ministering to me personally, especially when you said the drug users and the drug sellers. You can't rest, because one day it's going to come against you. And people, I'm laying in my bed and can't even rest. I'm still watching my back in my bed. And I'm like, that was me. I couldn't rest using drugs or selling drugs. It just didn't make no sense. It was just pure chaos. And that's what I chose, but that's what a person would get. And also, when you were talking about the unforgiveness in the bitterness, they're like almost twin spirits anyways. The unforgiveness, I had a situation with a family member, and she, because I wrote a book and I, you know, gave thanks to my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, one of my family members said, why did you give thanks to him? He didn't do anything for you. But that was that guilt from 53 and a half years ago. My family member is still holding on to and want me to blame me and put me in the middle of her past mistakes when I wasn't even born yet. And I thought about what you said. I said, good God Almighty. I thank God for that word. It was so clear. Apostle said even a child can understand. I was like, I understand. I understand. Well, thank you for the word, and I appreciate that. Amen.
Praise God. Line still open.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Mitchell. I enjoy you tonight, your word tonight. Thank the Lord for it, because one thing for sure, you said, and that is real. But if people completely stand on the agape love that God should have brought in our heart, it would be easy to confess that guilt. Because when you love, that means don't take no hardship to go to a friend and just sit down and explain, talk to them about your feeling. And people that get caught up in too much guilt, they do bring sickness on their bodies. So thank God for using you tonight in those areas, because that is really true what you bring tonight. And I thank God for you. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. I thank you for that word on tonight. It was definitely right on time word, and it sometimes can be a hard word to receive, especially when you say to confess to someone else, another human being, because we know, well, God has unconditional love, and, you know, and he's a forgiving God, and he holds no, you know, no judgment. But the thing about, like, what you were saying about finding that person that you can trust, and you just got to say it that one time, someone that you know that can love and cover you, even in that confession. And even though it may be even something that you have been delivered from and you are no longer part of, it's a good thing to do, because I know for me, for my own self, things have gone on. And I know I'm living a life of Christ. I'm not having those same feelings or same thoughts or whatever the case may be. But because it was a secret, then the enemy came in and would try to cause torment sometimes, especially late at night or in those quiet times, or something would take place and then it would try to come back. And then that guilty feeling would try to come back over again, because this was, you know, that secret that the enemy was working on. So I thank God that he has blessed me to be able to talk to someone and to be able to confess that. And then now the enemy can't come and deal with me like that anymore, because it's like once it was released out, then it was no longer a secret, so therefore it was no longer a weapon that the enemy could hold against us. So I do pray that even though those that may be listening, that it may have seemed like a hard word to receive and like, oh, my God, to say that, I pray that we do realize and understand that that is really a good thing to do. And I just thank and praise God for that word that you gave on tonight. And God bless you.
God bless you, sis.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Mitchell. I thank God for you on tonight. The word of God was so good, and I said I won't going to say much, because I just want to just let this word get in, digest in my heart and my mind, because I know that you were saying the guilt trip, you know, and it made me think about, you know, as you were talking about Eve, you know, how Eve was and how Eve, how Alan blamed Eve, and then Eve blamed the devil. And then it was just like what I'm saying, it was just like a guilt trip, you know, just like you said, a guilt trip. you know, a blame, you know, just continue to blame one another and let us know that we have to see our fault and see ourselves in different things. So I just thank God for you, for the word of tonight, letting us also know that we have to ask God and ask him to forgive us and just like you say, just drop it, leave it, and let it go, you know, as we go through these things like that. So I'm learning a lot about things, and I realize that a lot of times it's where the enemy tries. The first thought, he start with your thought, that thought, and if you just continue to lean with that thought, and then he moved to something there, but first it's a thought in your mind and stuff. So I'm learning. I'm trying to seek out some of this stuff because I've been through some stuff. And I know some of the stuff that you said, and I thank God for that, and I received that word on tonight because I want to live holy and live right and want to be able to stand and be what God would have me to be, that I will know the enemy when he tries to come to me in the name of Jesus, that I can rebuke the devil and that he can flee from me and never come back, that because I am free on tonight. I thank God for the word on tonight. I thank him for last night. It started with last night, and I know I'm free, and I thank God for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Pastor,
praise
Mitchell.
The Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor Mitchell. I thank you, and I praise you for that awesome word and powerful word that you brought forth tonight, especially when you talk about forgiveness and being honest with God. I just thank God for that spirit of forgiveness. Because for years I was walking around with a lot of unforgiveness, glory, hallelujah, for my mother and my children. But now that God has forgiven me, hallelujah, and teaching me how to forgive others, even when they come against me, I can tell them how much I love them and really mean it when I said it. Before when I had all that unforgiveness, I weren't able to tell them that I love them. But now I thank God that I can tell them I love them, and I thank God that I can use what I went through to have that unforgiveness as a testimony of where God brought me from. So I thank God for that powerful word that you brought forth tonight. And may God continue to bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
It was someone else was about to say something. Go ahead.
Yes, Pastor Mitchell, I just want to thank you for the word that went forth, especially speaking about guilt. It is true how we like to bury it, or we like to take false responsibility for what has happened in our lives or blame others for it. And even we try to work it off, like we work off our soul salvation. We try to work off that guilt and be like Mary instead of Martha. And so, and I like the part where you said that we get so in a religious practice with our relationship with God. So we don't get that relationship, that one-on-one relationship. We still doing the religious rhetoric, trying to follow a formula to do what we've done in the past to get the results for the future. And that's not the way to go. God is doing something different. And I also like the part where you said that we minimalize our guilt and we rationalize it to ourselves, and then we make compromises for it. So the word was just awesome, and it was just full of nuggets and knowledge, and I thank you.
Amen.
I want to thank God for the word that was preached tonight. I think it's important for because a lot of people, including myself, I can tend to get stuck on mistakes and sins and things of the past and not release and let those things go. So I think the word was on time and important and timely tonight for helping to release and let go of things and to just keep moving with God and keep going on in God. So I thank God for the word that was preached tonight, and thank God for Pastor Charlotte and for Pastor BJ and this phone line.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for all of those remarks and how powerful. Let us know how powerful that word penetrates in our heart to bring about a change for those that want to walk upright and live a life according to what God's word is saying and causing us to be transformed into the image of Christ and knowing that, glory to God, even in the midst of our mistakes, if we would just go to 1 John 1:9, praise God, and also run to the rock that's higher than us, that when we are going through different challenges, and if we would just humble ourselves and acknowledge and glory to God and take ownership, as she was saying, how marvelous God will bless and move miraculous, and that when we can come on one accord, we'll be a force to be reckoned with, because we'll be able to put the enemy to flight, and we'll be able to conquer and accomplish, glory to God, as much as God would allow us to, because we got to work while it's day. When night comes, no man can work. But he can't work, as the word has already been said, in secret and in lies, because he just can't do anything with us if we're walking in our flesh, because he said no flesh, no glory in his sight. Glory to God. So we got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the word, and that word coming, glory to God, and it'll cause us to get to that place that we acknowledge error. Even if we didn't know, God said, I'll not have you ignorant. So however he brings the word for us to come into the knowledge of the truth, then we can walk in the light therein. Praise God. Praise God. As the word always said, with another will that it said, oh, lay aside every sin and every witness so easily beset us. But we got to have that mindset and that determination and that perseverance and no procrastination. Glory to God. Amen. So with no hesitation, praise the Lord. We bless God for that word, for the woman of God, for the vessel that he used, that seek out the Lord's face to hear what thus said the Lord in spite of. And praise God, we covered her today because she had her shot today. And God bless, went through it beautifully, and we were praying, no hindrance. And I'm telling you, there's no way the enemy hindered it anyway, because I'm telling you, the floodgates was open. And glory to God, even last night when the word came forth so powerful through the prophet, praise the Lord, glory to God. We got to be determined and also know our season and make sure we're determined not to release and let go. And just, it was so many nuggets. I'm so full. I don't want to take up too much more time. We can share maybe at the end of the next night that as apostle come forth, praise God, with a word. But I'm going to give this time and this space right now for none other than our own speaker of the hour tonight, the vessel that God has used to bring that word, for we can get restoration, we can have transformation, we can, glory to God, be able to achieve our goals and even enable us to, glory to God, advance in the kingdom. That's what this word has been doing last night and tonight as we celebrate Jesus and celebrate these 5 years and much more to come. Help us to keep seeking the face of God. At this time, none other than Pastor Prophet Mitchell. Thank God for you. Obedience.
Amen. Amen. So do you want me to just kind of close out right now, Pastor BJ? Or
you just want me to have closing remarks? For, remarks, and then I'll want to, well, I can let you go ahead and close out. I guess if I go ahead and remind you all tomorrow night.
No, go. I want you to go, Pastor BJ. I want you to go ahead and close out. I'm just going to say these final remarks
because
I just want to say once again, I'm excited to be with you all. It's always a pleasure to come together and to connect with you. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to doing it more. I look forward to connecting with you all more. I appreciate you all listening and the tuning your ear. And I know the word was a hard word, but, you know, it's just like love. Sometimes love, you know, there's tough love, but I felt it was when God took over my being. So it was what the Lord ordered. So I just pray that you guys receive the word and that you continue to advance and accelerate in it. Like always, I love you all, and I look forward to connecting with you again. Pastor BJ, I'll turn it over to you.
Pardon me? Someone said something.
I turned it back over to you. I appreciate you inviting me in. And I appreciate all you do, and like you said earlier, as far as connecting on the prayer line with us and just always being, she's Johnny on the spot, and you guys know that when it comes to praying and really carrying you through, and a midwife in the spirit, I mean, I thank God for you, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for inviting me again, and I just want to thank you for all that you've been in my life, and I thank God for your commitment and, you know, your commitment to him and to just what he commanded us to do, love God and love people, saying, like, especially he said, love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself, and the way you're able to love yourself is through his love. His love, his love fills us. And when we step with him and through intimacy, we fill with his love, and so therefore we're able to love ourselves through God's love. It's really his love, because we're limited within ourselves, but then we're able to love ourselves because guess what? We see ourselves through his eyes. We see God through his eyes. We see others through his eyes, and we're able to love through all of those ways. And I just want to give you your flowers and thank God for you being a vessel that's yielded yourself to his service. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Oh, Lord.
I love you.
Lord, I'm telling y'all that anointed in you, I was saved, vice versa. Praise God. But I bless the Lord for you, and I do appreciate you so much being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Father, we thank you for actually the cover under the blood. Continue to bless and strengthen her and encourage her and continue to give her, glory, that hunger and that desire and that fire, glory to God, to keep, glory, that longing for you like my sister talked about last night, our pastor Bird, about that deer at the water brook panning after you. And you said, if we thirst for righteousness, we'll be full. So continue to fill her up, glory to God, that she run over and continue to use her for your glory. So much word in her, so much wisdom and knowledge, God. Keep her to a place that she desires to stay humble so you can continue to exalt her in the name of Jesus. Bless her body, bless her family, and we thank you for the ministry. And God, we thank you for every prayer warrior on this line, everyone, whether they are with the divine connection or with compassion, glory to God, carriers, or with, glory to whatever ministry, glory to New Hope, or whoever, all around the globe. God, as we join together, Lord, to carry out the mission that God has given us, that we stay strengthened in the Lord. Angels be encamped about them, God. We bind up every satanic and demonic force that will come against their lives and ministry and our church family as well as our family. God, that we shall live and not die, declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We praise God for you tonight. Bless the Lord. We thank God for none other than Apostle Mary Burton out of Columbia, South Carolina. Glory to God. We'll be on Sunday night. That'll be the climax of glory to God. God bless and celebrating Jesus, celebrating 5 years of our Blog Talk Radio of God healing, deliverance, encouragement. Glory to God, how he's been moving miraculously with these faithful prayer warriors that come on, glory to God, nightly on every Monday night at 7 and every second and fourth Sunday. Thank God for their faithfulness for 2 months. Glory to God, last month and this month, celebrating now 5 years. Every Sunday and every Monday, they have been on, glory to God, and pursuing and praying and interceding and being available for whatever mission, whatever assignment, wasn't too small or minute, no matter whether they were pastors, whether they were ministers or, glory to God, lay people or whatever, they were available, whether it was for prayer or, glory to God, scripture or just a word, praise the Lord. So I thank God for you, and as Pastor Bird said last night, even for the gifts that were in operation along with her last night. We thank God again. We're looking forward to blessing Pastor, hearing what the Lord has to say tomorrow through our dear Pastor, Apostle Burton. Continue to pray for her. Pray for the ones that already went forth. Pray for this ministry. Pray for your local assembly, and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Don't let us be moved by what the media is doing, what the world is doing, what the satanic forces in operation. Greater is he on the inside of you than he is after you. And as we join together, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Help us to continue to put God first and don't allow compromise to come in and flesh to be on parade. Don't get on Hollywood Boulevard, no matter what's going on right about now, because God don't want no part-time lovers. He's a jealous God. So let's be faithful to him, because great is his faithfulness. I pray you be inspired and encouraged and strengthened and maximize that anointing. Glory to God, that word in you, that God may have free reign and walk in forgiveness and love, the agape. I pray God's blessings upon you as we depart from this phone and not from his presence. Pray God's blessings. Join us again tomorrow if you can or will or whatever opportunity you can. Glory to God. Same number, same time, every time. Bless the Lord. We love you. Bless God. Shalom. Shalom. Thank you again, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Shalom.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Shalom. Bless everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Great is his faithfulness.
Love you, Lord.
And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my Lord. Matita, lean on the promises of the Lord. Love you. Have a good night. Shalom.
Good night, sisters. Good night.
Good night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Woo, Lord, I'm so full. I know I probably got about 6 pages of word. Glory, I haven't skipped a beat. I'm going to have to go back and listen and let that just permeate in my spirit when I get ready to lay down tonight. Good God. Good God.
That's what I say. I'm glad you called me, so I just pray that word
settle
in the hearts and the spirit.
Woo, Jesus. And all of us. Apostle or prophet or whatever, there was something in that word for everyone. It was something in there for every one of us. Neither one of us could miss anything God had for whatever part, because it was a much needed. It was powerful last night. It was the next level. I'm like, God, what are you going to do? Well, we opened up last night, and now I'm like, God, but I'm anticipating of expectancy. Another shift, because he want to get his body ready for that influx of glory to God, the revival. And we got to have laborers, and the laborers got to be true. They got to have clean hands. They got to be ready. They can't have no excuses about, well, I didn't know it. Oh, Lord, glory. And he's reiterating things he's been saying, but he also brought truth for places that, you know, you couldn't even cut no corners about, well, everything. Ain't no white lie, black lie, no, Every lie is a lie. He bought everything that we needed in that word. Oh, my God.
He pulled out that, those secret things, those things that,
yes.
You know, and that was revelation to me when I first heard it, the fact that you think when you go to God, okay, yeah, God forgives you, but if you need the healing of it, that's the thing that's lingering. And I was like, that was powerful when he allowed me to crack open the fact that James 5:16 say, confess to someone. So you mean I got to confess? Why do I have to confess to somebody else? He's, I'm a God of relationship.
That is beautiful. Yes, that was.
He brought it back to me. He said, all your issues. And I thought about my personal issues. Mama, womb, father.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And everything else. All our issues in life are relational. They're connected to people.
That was revelation. That way, both of those things revelation. Because you know, a lot of times I talk to people and I say, you know what? You can be forgiven, but the devil will try to make you feel like you're not forgiven because of the pain of the healing that you need. After you don't forgave, you ask God to heal you of those whatever. Because if you keep, glory to God, reminiscing over the healing, you sincerely don't forgave. But the thing about it, you're still carrying that. You need to let God come in. He said, I came to bind the broken heart and set the captive free. But the way God gave it to you tonight to break it down, and even up to that point where those secret things or those confessions that are need, that release, and then even when you use that medical situation analogy about how people can be free if they will just let go some guilt, how they can be able to come out of the hospital even quickly. I'm like,
yeah,
what? What?
Come out the hospital if they knew how to let go of resentment and all of those emotions.
My God.
In their body.
Lord have mercy. Now that was powerful too. I tell you, the Lord used you tonight. And you know when God can bless and people can open up ministers on the phone too, saying, you know, this, that, and the other, because such and such and such. That right there, anybody and everybody, and I know some was silent because that word was so powerful. What am I going to say?
Yeah,
sometimes the word.
I knew that. Like, I know, because God, sometimes, when he makes me bring a heavy word.
Yeah. You know, I know that. Yes.
They was calling with it. I mean, and because I love them, I was going through with them. I'm like, I know, baby, I know.
I know, that's right. And for God to bring that word so clear like that, it's stuff that you didn't experience and other things he gave in Revelation. But in the meantime.
You know what else in Revelation do? When he talks about the fact, he says, we come in through religion, then we get relationship, we get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we fall back into a religious practice in relationship. I was like, wow. God.
Yes, I'm going to have to go write that one down because it was coming, and I'm like, God, I have to go back and listen to take that note, put it back, insert it back in my other notes. Glory to God, because some things I was trying to write as fast as I could, but it was so many good nuggets in that right there. Oh, my Lord. And see, I'm a person like this. I like truth. Even when I was in the world, I like truth. I didn't like games. I don't like you pacify my flesh. And then next thing you know, when truth come out, no, give it to me. Go ahead and give it to me straight. I like it. I like my drink straight. I want it straight because I don't want no foolishness later.
I tell everybody, I tell you, like, come on, you do it. Always be straight and clear and straight. I love it direct.
And people, and it's so sad that the believers, especially even at a time now, seem like over the last 15 years or whatever, and especially these last 5 years, what's happening in the body of Christ is ridiculous. And, I mean, it's been going on before this, but I'm talking about how it does increase so much to the people, got so much deception, don't have a problem standing up with no fear of God in the pulpit or rather glory to God in ministry or ministry and lying to one another and whatever like this. I like truth. And then when you tell the truth or whatever like this, then they get offended. You're going to be offended. Mother Alexander, the one that has that accent to be on the phone, that woman of God don't play. My, she is straight up. And people turn back around, try to come against her because she tells the truth. But she don't play. She don't stand around for foolishness. But I'm telling you, I'm with that when it comes to truth. Well, baby, I know sometimes in order God to give us wisdom, if it's a babe or somebody in a delicate situation, you may have to go in a certain way to be able to fish to get that one for to get
right.
Deliverance. But on the other hand, it ain't no compromise going to be in that. It ain't going to be a partaker of no man's sin either. But in the meantime, he'll give you wisdom. But straight up, God gave some of us to be straight up and frank for a purpose. Because some of us have to be like the Navy SEALs. Everybody just can't go off the top and just, It's got to be so we can get to the core and you snatch those people out of the fire of the enemy. And be able, glory to God, to recognize and so forth. Like they need, people need truth in order to get delivered. So if you might fight it right now, your hands be too short to box God to try to box me. But at the end of the day, you still have to deal with God. Because he's just using us as messengers. And we got to make sure, in the meantime, we are making sure we are partakers of whatever he's saying while we be delivering too as well. But I'm
saying, all the time. They just me tonight. I'm just getting stuck the whole time.
All right, I love it. I know that, because in order for God to bless and bring such a delivery, it has to be there. It can't be something just coming off the top of the head. Now, that's a word back to you was before the Lord. I'm telling you to bring what you brought. So I am so happy to even hear you say we're looking for you being back, but I'm telling you, it's wonderful when you can say, I want to come back. But I'm telling you, we've been listening to so much that God's been saying every time. He just keeps taking you high and high. He's like, Lord have mercy.
You know what tickled me back when you said, I like that little baby you say. Yeah, I think she the one you got it. Hop on that crazy.
Oh, that's right? Mother Willette, Evangelist Willette down in Columbia. She always said that when you come on board. She.
Yeah, I know.
That's Willette. She always say that about you. That's Willette. Yeah, that's Mother Willette. But she's an evangelist, too. That thing loved the word. But I tell you one thing, honey, woo,
I don't know what to say. I'm just so thrilled. I had a guest over here. I haven't had anybody in the house besides a CNA or either. My daughter really hadn't even been in the house that much, and my granddaughter come over. But First Lady Paige, Bishop Paige's wife, could she come over? That was earlier, probably about a couple hours ago. That's why I caught her and had her to sing while she was sitting there, just for that little bit. She's waiting on her husband. She left, I think, at the – you wasn't finished yet. I think you had probably another 20 minutes. But she caught just about all of it there. But the Lord bless her. It was just such a pleasure. We had a little meal together a little bit. First time she'd been in, but it was anybody been in here. But God just blessed just the aroma, the blessing. And then for her to be able to stay here and hear the word and how God just moved, it was just, oh, my God, this day has got me like, ah, and hear what God did through you tonight. I am just in awe and just blessing God. I'm telling you. I'm saying when I go to bed, I might be putting it back on before I go to bed. This has been great, and I'm telling you, girl, you were so full. You were flowing. I mean, it was just like, wow, when did God give you that word? That was so rich. Ooh, it was so good. It was good. I love truth, because what it's going to do is help me to get to a place where more flesh die. The more glory to God I can soar, the more and more glory to God, God can be glorified, because the more and more the weight's dropping off, I can be able, glory to God, to be in a place where he can download and I can be in a vessel to be used for his glory, because that's what it's all about, that hunger and thirsting for righteousness. So I love truth. I love when God bless. It hurts when people lie, or either they play the game, or that you don't follow through or whatever. But
they come with that itching ear stuff because they want you to like them. Everybody want to feel accepted, but when you sold out to God, you got to do what he say, you got to say what he say, and you can't be worried about their faces.
And you know what?
Out of your care about their faces, but you got to continue to do what God. You have to trust God and say what he say and do what he say do. You know.
And you know when you walk in truth like that, and they know you don't play. You won't find a lot of them be around you. They come when they want that prayer. They come when they want that truth. They want that deliverance. They want that healing. Oh, they'll find you then, honey.
I started writing a book. become a queen with or without a king.
All right, that's a good word. Ooh, Lord.
Satisfied with him, and you're allowing.
And
I'm not talking all that Jesus is my husband stuff. I'm just saying, are you one whole?
Yes, man. Because supposed to be a whole woman, a whole man to make a whole marriage. Because if you half a woman, half a man, then I remember Jake and somebody said that many years ago, and that's the truth. You bringing all that baggage up in there. You not whole. Well, he's my other half. She my other half. Somebody looking for a mama. Somebody looking for a daddy. Oh, wait a minute. No. Go ahead with the word, but my sister. Go ahead. All right.
What is she talking about? I was like, oh boy, God, here you go.
Well, I tell you one thing, they can't run away from that word, because once that seed is planted, oh, you're not going to have no excuse. You can go in and you cannot even feel comfortable in your sin, whatever it is you're doing and whatever you're feeling in carnality, because after that truth done came, you'll be trying to shake it off and still trying to get somebody to agree with you. But, honey, sooner or later, it's going to wake you up. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Like, even my spiritual mom, her daughter's boy, she likes to wear all her clothes and all her boots out. I think we like, oh, my
Lord.
Yeah, her daughter, like, I just looked at her picture, like, yeah, it's like her boots. And I know she may have big breasts, but, I mean, she... To me, it's just like I'm not bold enough, and the Lord didn't tell me to tell it. I know my spiritual mom is an apostle, and she made her daughter the pastor. I'm like, come on.
Oh, wait a minute. That's what I wanted to ask you. Now, this one thing for somebody to be unsaved or just gotten saved, and they're walking through a process. But when you say you in leadership, and you got the, because I like what a pastor and some other people that men of God have said too. If you showing all that, you know, and you trying to even get even a spouse, you're going to get just what you presenting out there, because that's all you're going to draw. When you are up here, now what kind of example are you leading for others to feel like I got to be, use the world system, and he said, be not conformed to the world, and you got all of that right there. Where's the modesty? Where is the modesty? If you got to have all your all of them girls out, and the guys got to have their jewels printed up in front of them, hanging to see how much they're packing, then what kind of mess?
Look, this is what I used to say. I used to tell my daughter, if she was trying to dress a little promiscuous, I'd say, look, if you ain't selling it, don't advertise it.
Mm-hmm. And I used to tell my girls and stuff like this, look, you can get that when the dog, you can get that when you can't get nothing to eat. Because them dogs go into one hole and whatever like this right here, okay, one from one to the next. So one of the things and stuff like this, like, no. When you can, because you get that when you can't get nothing to eat. I mean, wait a minute.
You know, I had a talk with my daughter today, and, you know, I kind of got to hear where she is, and, you know, she's just, you know, like, you know, she separated from her husband, had early divorce, and she got some other guys she's talking to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had divorce, and so she was just like, she just kind of running it by me. You know, I'm thinking about allowing the kids to be around whoever.
Oh, Lord.
And so she was like, when we be around and just introduce herself, she said, it's been a whole year and a half I had. And she said, so what's the point of it? She said, well, I just think about it. And then she was just telling me, I just think he's just like, he would be like a friend, just like I bring my kids around my female. I said, but the difference is, you know, if it's platonic, if he's not a platonic friend, then you bring, she said, but I'm just thinking about it, if when he with me, she's just going on, and I'm just listening to her thought process. And that's when I say, well, Stephanie, I say, you know, you got choices to make. I say, but not as you making those choices. I say, you already know. I say, I know you like to throw, but she said, I thought about with you. She said, I thought about when you married men. It's almost like, you know, it was like when I went back and looked at my life, it wasn't like I knew him well or I got to be around. It was like you were getting annoyed, and then, you know, I would talk to him on the phone. I say, yeah, it was long distance. And she said, whether I had a choice or not, you know, you went on and, you know, you married him. And I'm thinking, maybe it's not as serious, you know, because she look at me like my mom was so serious about everything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so then she said, maybe it's not that serious. I say, so you don't think, okay. I said, I know you kind of like to bring back to me about the things that I did when I did it and the way I did it. And I understand all of that. I said, but Mitch and I, it was long distance. So I said, this is what you, this guy's local with you. So you got time. If you guys are seeing each other to see if he's marriage material or where are you going with it? I say, the point. called and texted me. Even when I was talking to Mitch, it was never just to hang around and say, no, you might not be marriage material, you're my friend, and I'm saying you're my platonic friend, and I'm sleeping with you, and all. It's a different dynamic, and it's a different set of dynamics. And so we just was talking, and I got a chance just to hear her, and that's when I said, so Devaney, when you go to church, she likes to go to transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so when you go to church, is it just like you're going to church, or is it really, are you in the Word and allowing the Word to be in you? I said, because I know that you like to compare yourself to me. The difference is, I said, when I didn't know any better, I didn't do better.
That's what I'm talking about, great.
I said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, once I knew better, I did
right.
better. And so I said, you still going out. Mike, you keep saying I go out. She said, I don't go to no clubs. I don't do that. I said, hey, you may not go to clubs. I said, look, I'm not going to argue with you. I said, I'm not saying you're going to clubs. I said, you may not go to clubs. You might go to friends' house. I said, you know what's going on. You know what a godly life look like, and you know what an ungodly life
is. That's right.
I said, so, well, we're not going to go there with that. And I say, so are you going to, like, when you get married? She said, oh, you're not going to be married. I said, so you're going to be a nun for now, if you don't plan to get married, or you just plan to live in sin, and when God come back, he catch you fornicating? No, I'm going to be, no, I said, okay, so he going to catch you fornicating? If you're not, because, I mean, if you're saying you don't plan to get married no more, she just feel hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of heard her mindset, and then she was just like, you know, I don't think it's that, and I just could tell it, and then I sent her a text a little bit afterwards. I say, so I want to ask you something. What do you think that this new way, this different way of thinking, where do you think those thoughts are coming from? I say, compare your thoughts to what the Word says.
Uh-huh.
You see, I saw her life, she had to deal with a mama that's throwing a word at it. So I try not to do it so often, but I can't help but just keep telling her the truth. And I know it's going to take somebody else to miss.
Oh, my daughter like to bring sometimes the word. She, oh, you're a woman of God. I know you're a woman of God, but mama sometimes and da-da-da-da-da. So sometimes she like to sing a little song. She don't sing as much like she says, and she filled with the Holy Spirit and called in ministry and whatever like this, but it's still yet, you know, there's certain areas that need to be tightened up and stuff like sometimes when that word comes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I'm saying when God tells me to say, if he don't tell me to say nothing, then so be it. But you're not changing because she know who I am, and I'm not trying to push nothing down. And as we grow in grace, of course, things are a little different. Sometimes we look back and they tell us certain things. You're like, when I was younger like that in Christ, well, mama, you not, you know, cause for Carmelita, that's all she ever knew is me being saved, because by the time she was 4 months old, I gave my life back to the Lord. I might knew him for a few months, but I was like, that right there really didn't really know, but just in that short experience. But Leisha, I think she was 7 years old. Was she 7 years old? Yeah, 7 years old when I gave. So the majority of Leisha's life, but all of Carmelita's life, that's all she knows. With her mom being saved. But some way that she talked about my strictness in certain things because I didn't allow them to stay overnight with people and they just couldn't just go and run and do whatever. So she called strictness.
My mom didn't say that. She said she was a cheerleader. The whole squad stayed at the coach's house. Down to 11, I wake up the next morning. I brought her back the next morning to have breakfast with them, but she wouldn't sleep. I always say, your bed. Your bed is for you. That's where you sleep. And so when she graduated high school, and they, at the graduation trip, they went to Texas, and all the kids, all her classmates were saying, Devaney, can you spend the night? Are you going to be able to come? They made fun of us.
Oh, Pastor, I've always closed the line. I got to listen tonight to make sure our conversations, I've never had 30
Oh, Lord, get us off of that. Bye.
I don't even know how it's over now. I got to find out is it any way that we are on this prayer line? Because the line was open, and I'm thinking it's closed, and whatever like this, because I had already...
You have the ability to erase, delete it?
My God. I'm going to find that once they... After